You know, I was actually thinking maybe since we sort of started down the road of the elderly, we could just bring in your case fairly quickly, Ken, of the 90-year-old, because sure. That kind of gets into the adjuvant setting.
Sure. This is a 90-year-old white male who lives with his second wife of 43 years, who's fully functional, including, as they love to remind me, of sexual activity, with the performance status of one. This comes into what we have, the consideration of post-surgery discussion. He has controlled hypertension and elevated cholesterol, which is controlled. He had coronary artery disease, also controlled, and osteoarthritis. On June 14th of this year, he had an acute abdomen found on physical examination. CAT scan showed a ruptured appendix with a 4-centimeter cecal mass. At surgery, the cecum was resected. He did have appendicitis. But also was found was a well-differentiated adenocarcinoma, which was felt to be separate and incidental to the appendicitis. He had multiple matted lymph nodes, which were very hard to interpret, and on a phone call prior to coming here, still they were not able to identify tumor versus just gross inflammation. So he was staged by me as a T3NXM0.
They can't tell whether it's tumor or not?
It is so matted and inflamed, they cannot make any major determination between what's going on. It's just a total mess. So he's minimally stage 2B or maximally stage 3C, depending on how one wants to look at it. He went to rehabilitation. His treatment was finished surgery on June the 20th. He went to rehab for 2 weeks, had no problems, and then home. His question to me prior to my going on vacation of what to do. Should he take Zoloda or do something because he wants to live because he's enjoying his family and enjoying his life. And he is coming back to the port of Miami sometime this week and is going to call me, I'm sure, as soon as he hits land.
So, Alan, in our breast cancer series, we just presented an 86-year-old woman with a triple-negative tumor and 7 positive nodes. And both Chuck Vogel and Hi Mus said, well, and she was in perfect condition, said, well, if the patient really wants treatment, they would give her treatment, chemo, TC, as a matter of fact. What about this patient?
Yeah, I agree. I think, again, if you live to be 90, why wouldn't you live to be 95 or 98 or 100 for that matter? And this guy's from Teaneck?
He's from the area, yes.
Yeah, I'm from New Jersey, so I know how tough those people are. I would certainly treat this patient if the patient wanted to be treated. And I think I would probably treat with capecitabine as opposed to FOLFOX, which does beat up the elderly a little bit. Again, there's not much experience with 90-year-olds getting FOLFOX, but my instinct would be to treat with capecitabine alone. But I think FOLFOX would also, if the patient said, I want to be fully aggressive and don't spare me any pain, I would do FOLFOX.
You know, we're used to using adjuvant online and seeing that as people get older, the absolute benefit statistically decreases. I'm sure if you put him into adjuvant online, what would you tell him, Alan, if he said, okay, give me some numbers, what's my chance? Of course, it was a little tricky.
I'd be making it up on the fly because right. I don't really know what his stage is.
Right.
But by the description of the matted adenopathy, you could be suspicious that there's nodal disease, although he had an appendicitis, which might have accounted for it. Arguably, one of the issues is he had a perf, he had a perfed appendix.
He had a perf appendix.
So the question is, does this count as a perforation, which raises him up to a high-risk stage 2? And it's not a perforation through the tumor, it's distant from the tumor. But I would bet this is a stage 3 patient, just from the description. And, of course, I'm making up the numbers, but I would tell them there might be a 10 to 15% increment of potential cure as opposed to not doing the treatment.
But again, at age 90?
Right. So the issue is, does that matter? And I think the issue is 3-year, first of all, disease-free survival may be an issue if he recurs with symptomatic pelvic disease. So I would give him incrementally disease-free survival 3 to 5% over 3 years, I think, would be a ballpark.
You know, and it's interesting, when we were talking about this breast cancer case, the referring doc, this actually was a case that was emailed to me from a doc in practice. He wanted me to throw it out to a couple of investigators. And what he brought out in the email was, yeah, adjuvant says this thing about survival, but since it's a triple negative tumor in breast cancer, we know relapse is probably going to occur in 2-3 years. So maybe quality of life-wise, you might avoid that, maybe not extend the survival, but avoid him going through the experience of relapse. And I had actually heard that argument already from colorectal, from you all.
Yeah. Well, again, especially with intra-abdominal cancer, intra-abdominal nodal recurrence can be really noxious.
But particularly the time course.
Absolutely. And so I treat in this patient much more for disease-free survival than I treat for overall survival. So I would probably use capecitabine.
Yeah, my feeling was exactly the same, that what you're trying to do, one, I think he has good protoplasm. I mean, he had an acute abdomen and came through surgery like nobody's business. And my experience of local recurrence, whether it be to rectal or colon cancer, is misery. And if we can prevent that for whatever length of time, irrespective of, and this is weird for me to say this, irrespective of overall survival, but if you get 3 years of good time and then crash like Thelma and Louise, that's a lot better than always ending up in a hospital every 3 months.
No, I agree.
Sam?
What about if this patient has negative nodes? The pathologist says definitively these nodes are negative. And then you're talking about stage two disease.
Well, so then the debate is, did the distant perforation, does that mean anything? And probably not. I mean,
how often do you see appendicitis in a 90-year-old?
Well, presumably it's not a coincidence. So there's a change in the pressures within the bowel, and he sort of blows out the tire would be the way to look at it. But your point is well taken. If I knew he was node negative, I would probably err against doing chemotherapy. But if there's debate, I think with matted adenopathy, appendicitis doesn't give you matted adenopathy. So, but it's a very fair point. And again, the exact meaning of a perforation in this setting, I don't know what it means.
I've been kind of surprised that capecitabine by itself hasn't been used more in lower risk patients. Again, if you think about the breast cancer model, we treat node negative less aggressively. When the Xeloda data came out, I was thinking, yeah, people are going to start using it. But yet again, from the researchers, there's this feeling full fox or nothing.
Well, so the dilemma is we haven't answered the question. So the Mosaic trial, which showed no benefit to FOLFOX in stage 2 patients, was 5-FU leucovorin versus FOLFOX. It wasn't no treatment versus FOLFOX. And the exact trial was stage 3 patients. So there's really no, what do you do for the average risk stage 2? Don't know. But again, I would probably go with capecitabine in that case. I think it's fair to say that FOLFOX isn't of benefit for the average risk stage 2.
So is that a strategy you all are using in your practice, using capecitabine alone in the lower risk patient, Malik?
I use the capecitabine as adjuvant.
Sure. How about the molecular markers to help us with these stage 2? Where is the status of that research at this point?
Right. So, again, that's Genomic Health. There are a couple of companies working on a signature. There is an ECOG study, E5202, which risk stratifies on two molecular markers, the MSI status and deletion in 18q, MSI high trumping the other findings. Those findings in a stage 2 patient really predicted extremely unlikely that the cancer will recur, and that would be a patient to watch. Not unreasonable in this 90-year-old to wonder if this is a genetic predisposition. It sure took a long time to make its way to the surface, but I think it's a reasonable way of discriminating. Now, should you do it off study? Not clear. And then to compound the misery is the paper presented by Dan Sargent at ASCO this year suggesting that MSI-high patients don't get benefit from fluoropyrimidine chemotherapy. They actually do worse with fluoropyrimidine chemotherapy. Not that I can explain that. So I think in the average age patient without these confounding factors, E5202 is a hugely important study because if you can identify a genetic profile that tells you who won't recur, you spare them the therapy.
Now, these docs are used to using Oncotype in breast cancer. We know it's become part of practice, and there were data presented by the NSABP looking at an assay that they're working on with GH. Can you talk about what they've presented, and when do you think maybe we might see whether this thing really is going to work?
Right. So Genomic Health has a really smart way of coming up with genetic profiles. Of course, they succeeded with Oncotype DX. What they do is they comb the genetic library for likely candidates that are genes that could be relevant to colon cancer, and then they work their way back. They create a hypothesis and validate it with a validation set and then try to apply it to other tissue samples. And what Genomic Health presented were the sort of preliminary results of what looked to be a genetic profile that they would use to probe for developing the same algorithm they've done with Oncotype DX. They're in the state now of validating and testing this profile against untreated stage 2 patients that are in archival history. So they're looking at, I think, the QUASAR data from Europe. They're going to look at CLGB 9581. So I think within a couple of years, maybe sooner, we'll have a full genetic profile. So you get your stage 2 patient. It's not out of the question that you send off the analysis and you get an algorithm much like you get for Oncotype DX.